Hi, everyone. My name is Anthony Negron, host and producer of Spark Chat, a podcast dedicated to capturing and sharing the personal and professional journeys of some of New York City's top thought leaders around education. We look to cover an assortment of topics while highlighting each individual. This podcast is generously supported by the Hive New York City Leadership Grant. On this episode, I'm joined by Fee Pham, founder and executive director of Building Beats. Stay tuned for after the show for additional content. Hope you enjoy.
Welcome, everyone. I'm so glad to have my next guest on the podcast, as we have been working together recently in a Hive New York City Network subcommittee, and I'm really excited to hear more about the work he is doing and about the man himself. Fee Pham is the founder and executive director at Building Beats and has tremendous experience in nonprofit and small business, as well as youth development, community work, and over 15 years of experience in freelance music. Fee, thank you so much for taking the time and joining us today.
Yeah, thank you. Excited to be here.
Cool. So I want to start off, especially with that rich experience within music and kind of just going back. And so music really allows us to kind of express ourselves. It brings people together, and it really plays an important role in a lot of our lives. Where did your passion for music first start, and who were some of your biggest influences?
Growing up, I grew up in Colorado. My uncles were really the mentors around me, kind of like big brothers in a way, and exposed me, showed me what music is, what stuff they were listening to.
Yeah.
And they would listen to a mix of things from reggae, dancehall, to some funk,
yeah,
to old school rock and roll, and to hip hop. And yeah, it's they were my original influence.
Yeah.
And I remember this was like second or third grade, but there were commercials on TV. I was watching like Nickelodeon or something.
Yeah.
For a radio station, and I remember a radio station, it was Jammin' 92.5 in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize it at the time, but it was a hip hop radio station.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is some cool sounding music. And
yeah.
That really got me hooked, and just that was, yeah, second or third grade, and from then on, hip hop was really a big influence for me.
Yeah.
That radio station, a few others too.
Cool. Were there any like specific artists that you really felt like you connected to?
Yeah. One of my favorite songs growing up was the one with Q-Tip and Janet Jackson.
Okay. Yeah.
The one where they sampled Joni Mitchell.
Yeah.
Which is a sweet song.
Yeah, yeah.
And then as I got a little bit older, I remember fourth and fifth grade, I was a big fan of Puff Daddy.
Okay, same here.
When his first album came out.
Yeah.
That was really influential for my young life.
And yeah, yeah.
Really, Puff Daddy was interesting too, because I'm like, this music is, as I dug deeper, I learned that he sampled a lot of music,
right,
from, you know, other places, David Bowie.
Yeah.
All sorts of people, and I was like,
yeah,
wow, it's like you can recreate music with music, you know, of the past.
Interesting.
And flip it into something else.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think Puff Daddy was a big influence because of his music sampled from so many different genres.
Really cool. So kind of then fast forwarding a little bit, I read that you have a degree in neuroscience and psychology. And I would love to hear kind of what interested you in studying those topics, and what were some of your future aspirations coming out of college?
So growing up, for some reason, I dreamed of being a neurosurgeon.
Okay.
I remember from my middle school days, it's like, I want to be a neurosurgeon.
Wow, since middle school.
Yeah. Went to college, majored in neuroscience psychology, and went to NYU.
Mm-hmm.
Took the MCAT, everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, through college, like any other young college student, was questioning, is this what I'm really passionate about?
Right.
Is this what I want to do? I was already DJing by then, and I was already obsessed with music. So it was always, do I do the science route? Do I do the music route?
Yeah.
Science primarily, I wanted to be a doctor, a medical professional to help serve the world.
Yeah.
Music was my passion, and
yeah,
I think neuroscience, I stuck with it really because it was still interesting and it was a challenge.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I'm glad I look back at it now. I'm glad it's like being in a tough major like neuroscience, and,
right,
and also double with psychology, was it'll help me build the habits to really do whatever.
Yeah.
And I think neuroscience is a bit unique in that it's the science of how we function, how we think, how we make decisions. And I think that really applies to everything in life. So I'm glad I stuck with it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think I still think about a lot of the stuff I learned from neuroscience and psychology to this day.
Yeah. And so while you're studying that, you're also DJing. When did that exactly start?
So it was the summer of seventh grade when I was visiting one of my uncles in California.
Okay.
His girlfriend, who's now his wife, mm-hmm. had a younger brother who is my age, and I got to hang out with him, and he had turntables, and he showed me how they work, how to scratch and everything.
Yeah.
It was like 10 minutes, 15 minutes on it, I was hooked.
Yeah.
And from then on, I was like, I need to get my own pair of turntables.
Awesome.
Eighth grade, the rest of the seventh grade summer, and then up to high school, I took all these different jobs and whatever, you know, gifts I got. I was hoping for money so I can save up to get my first pair of turntables.
Yeah.
Which I finally got my freshman year of high school.
Nice.
I didn't realize it would be something of kind of a career now.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
15, 16
yeah.
years later. But what started out as a hobby is now pretty much my life in a way.
That's
yeah.
so cool. And so as kind of doing more research into this, I noticed like you had so many different kind of positions and roles before you eventually launch your organization. So from grant writer, research assistant, leadership trainer, you really had some, you know, really diverse different positions starting out. Can you talk a little bit about those experiences? Specifically, what were some key takeaways you had from having those different roles?
I think each of those roles really have helped me grow as trying to, you know, start building Beats from the early days to
yeah.
where it is now. Is my grant writing experience when I was in college, I was interning for a small youth development organization called Threads That Teach.
Mm-hmm.
They would teach young people how to be creatives by making t-shirts and selling it.
Awesome.
So just understanding, even opening my eyes up to the Foundation Center,
and
what is a grant application, was a good starting point. Being a research assistant was part of my neuroscience psychology mm-hmm. studies, and that helped me because I was doing research actually specifically in developmental psychology,
mm-hmm.
and I was going to some classrooms that my research professor was studying.
Yeah.
And just going through that process helped me understand. It's like, okay, this is how you observe a class. This is what you should be doing when you're administering a survey or a test
yeah.
to assess the impact of whatever.
Right.
Being a leadership trainer, which was another term is a teaching artist for this company called the Leadership Program.
Okay.
That really taught me so many different skills that apply to building Beats these days.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding the what is a teaching artist, their pedagogy is about using arts to teach leadership. Mm-hmm. So I think understanding how they built out that curriculum was really helpful. And yeah, all three of those and a few other jobs I've had, internships I've had, really have culminated into what Building Beats is right now.
Yeah, and that's awesome. Can you then kind of, so before we kind of dive really deep into like kind of what your organization does, can you share with us then what was the ultimate motivation for then starting your own organization? And what were some things that you kind of were a little worried about early on?
With my passion for music, but also my desire to help, you know, benefit the world in some sort of way. Mm-hmm. My initial ideation of building Beats was in the summer of 2008. This was when I was doing, I was working in a research lab at NYU. I was cutting rat brains over the summer. And I remember it was, one day I was in the lab by myself just cutting rat brains. And it just sparked with me. It's like, I want to help young people get into DJing, get into music, because DJing and music really was a big part of my life.
Yeah.
And I came to realize that DJing, you know, you learn so many different skills from there. Mm-hmm. You learn how to put together an event. You learn how to read an audience, a crowd.
Right.
You learn how to put out a mixtape on the internet. And, you mm-hmm. know, that was like the early 2000s. How do I get people to listen to something I made?
Right.
So all these different skills are, you know, small business skills, entrepreneurial skills from DJing. And that was my initial spark.
Right.
I think back then, you know, I had grand aspirations. I wanted to do this. Let's do it internationally.
Awesome.
Initially, I wanted to start, music programs around the world for youth to learn how to make music, create music, and then connect and collaborate online.
Yeah.
Starting with that, our first project was helping start up a DJ school in Brazil.
Okay.
In a favela outside of Rio called Rocinha.
Uh-huh.
And just through that was a big learning process. Starting an organization and making it sustainable is really tough.
It's tough, yeah.
Yeah. And just since then, it's been a learning journey. How do we make sure Building Beats exists another day? And that's really just my big mantra to keep us going.
It's
we can't take over the world if we can't last tomorrow.
So, right.
Kind of like a inversion mental model in terms of let's just last another day and let's keep going from there.
Awesome. Totally driven by your passion. Really cool. So as a man kind of, with a vision and really being driven by your passion, let's now dive deeper into Building Beats. Can you provide us with kind of the proverbial elevator pitch of what is Building Beats and talk a little bit about some of the programming that your organization provides?
Cool. So what we do is we expand, develop DJ and music production programs that teach life, leadership, and entrepreneurial skills.
Awesome.
We think that's important because in our classes, we show young people that anyone can be creative. Mm-hmm. And we empower them with what we call creative confidence. Mm. We think that if a student has confidence in their creativity, mm-hmm. they'll be able to develop confidence in other aspects and parts of their life as well.
Right. Yeah, that's great. I really love to hear maybe a little bit more about some of the programming opportunities that, if I'm a young person, that is provided to young people.
So a lot of our work is partnering with after-school programs, community spaces, all throughout the five boroughs.
Okay.
If you're in our program, you don't have to have any music experience of the past.
Yeah.
All we need is you have to be open-minded and have positive vibes and, be willing to try things that may be uncomfortable at first.
Right.
We want to show you that, today with technology making music making so much more accessible, that anyone can be a musician, anyone can be a music producer or a DJ.
Yeah, and what's the age group in terms of your audience?
We worked with students as young as second grade,
wow.
up to students as old as 24, 25 years old.
Yeah.
And we're even developing programs for, young professionals and adults.
Yeah.
So in terms of our age group we work with, it's anyone.
Yeah, yeah.
The majority of our work is with middle schoolers in Sonic after-school programs.
Okay. Cool. I really love that your organization doesn't just focus on the kind of the technical skills, but also using kind of people's passion for music creation as a way to engage youth in kind of developing other skills such as leadership and entrepreneurship, which you kind of talked about before. Can you talk a little bit about Why do you think this approach is important to you and your organization? And how exactly are you able to kind of incorporate this into the programming you offer?
Yeah, I think music is a really interesting theme because as a young person, especially my own time growing up, is I was so passionate about music.
Yeah.
And the engagement hook is automatically there.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, the term these days is the cultural relevance of programming. I think, you know, music is culturally relevant and it's embedded into our team's DNA.
Right.
When we're making music that, you know, is similar to what students are listening to, when we talk about Drake, Rihanna, Kendrick Lamar in the classes, kids are automatically engaged, and just getting them engaged is the starting point to really show them the rest of the world.
And then for those elements of the kind of like leadership, are there like specific is it like explicit in the programming that like maybe are there activities that are geared towards introducing leadership? I'm just curious how those skills are kind of introduced.
Yeah, so having the share out process, showing, you know, your peers, your classmates, what you've worked on,
right,
is one starting point.
Sure.
And really a starting point to build a young person's creative confidence.
Right.
And the ability for music making to allow remixing, collaboration, working with other people. We try to have our classroom structured so that the students can work with each other.
That's awesome.
One person's creative process may be different than another person's.
Yeah.
And there may be times of conflict, but understanding how you, you know, resolve that conflict and you build into a positive collaboration, I think those are some of the skills that can drive a person to become a better leader
sure.
in the future.
Yeah.
Critiquing, feedback, how do you give good feedback to a person? Using music production is a good way for us to model that to our classroom.
That's great. Yeah, those seem like really essential skills for any leader, whether it's collaborating, critiquing, and then especially communication, right? And I think it's so important for them to have the opportunity. Like, you create something and it doesn't end there. Now they can have the platform to kind of talk a little bit about their process and reflect on that.
Exactly.
And it's so important to kind of share that. That's really great that your organization is able to kind of give them that platform to do so.
Yeah, I think, you know, what they always say is leaders are not just someone of high intelligence, it's someone with high emotional intelligence.
Sure.
And that's the ability to work with other people and
yeah.
read other people and understand how you can, you know, collaborate and you know
yeah.
do stuff with other people.
Yeah.
So
awesome. So we've actually had several kind of founders and executive directors on the podcast, and I would love to hear more about some of the challenges you face being in that role, and how did you overcome those challenges?
Oh man, there's an endless amount of
yeah.
challenges. I think every day is a new challenge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Starting from, you know, the beginning is, you know, what we just talked about previously is like some of the previous roles I've had really helped me understand what is the vision, what are the steps needed to run an organization and start an organization.
Yeah.
Right now, some of our biggest challenges, unfortunately, still go down to funding, and it's like, what is our business model, our way of building a sustainable organization?
Sure.
Are we going to be grant funded? Are we going to be fee for service? Do we get paid from schools? Do we charge students? Are we philanthropy funded? Do we look for large donors? There's so many different ideas we've always had on how do we build sustainability.
Yeah.
The biggest thing that really helped me overcome a lot of these challenges is prioritizing and building a roadmap. I think understanding
yeah.
it's like let's focus on doing a few things, you know, right at first and
yeah.
use that to help us figure out what is the next route. And I think one of the biggest things that's helped us is we're building our own organization's knowledge base, a community of knowledge where, you know, we have now best practices, worst practices, what doesn't work in the classroom, but what does work.
Yeah.
And as our team continues doing more workshops, we're able to share that with each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just having our own team internal kind of Wikipedia of best practices, worst practices, has really helped us just continue growing and developing and understanding, you know, all sorts of situations that, you know, any sort of one of our workshop leaders may run into.
Yeah. Are there any other resources that you go into as you kind of continue to grow in this role, whether it's participation in a network, any online resources, any like supplemental materials that you kind of like always stay in the loop of, anything that you can share?
Yeah, networks like The Hive has been really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I was part of PACE's leadership and development series.
Okay.
Where they brought together executive directors of youth development organizations. That was really great as well.
Just, awesome.
You know, to share really, yeah, you know, issues we've all had of running our own organizations.
Yeah.
So some, you know, niche networks like that have been really useful because we're, as an industry, youth development, we deal with really unique problems.
Mm-hmm.
And hearing other folks talk about their problems, how they've overcome it, has been really helpful.
Yeah.
And for me, I listen to a lot of books.
Yeah.
And books have been, you know, my primary source on how I can just keep learning and figuring out, like I said, how building bees can survive another day.
Yeah. And so for those kind of two things, for the network you're talking about, the Hive NYC Learning Network being a tremendous tool and value to you. And participating in that PACE leadership series. Did you notice, and through your participation, like other people kind of speaking to somewhat of the same challenges that you face, and at least that, did that give you like comfort, at least to hear your peers go through that?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Hearing people go through the same issues I have, it was the empathy in these group experiences, mm-hmm. that really allowed me to zoom out. It's like, I'm not alone in this.
Yeah.
Being a founder, executive director, you know, running your own thing is, you feel very lonely at the top. You feel like you're the only person doing this.
Yeah.
But it's one of the most powerful things being part of these smaller groups where people have the same difficulties is the shared empathy, the pain, but also the success.
Yeah, and it's interesting you said that because a couple other you know, executive directors, people in similar roles as you have mentioned that, like, when you're on the top, it can get, when you're in that top position, it can get pretty, you know, lonely.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at least, I mean, you have then platforms to kind of help combat that, which is great.
Yeah, I know, like, in our earlier years, that loneliness was really uncomfortable.
Sure.
And like, I was afraid of it.
Yeah.
But instead of being afraid of it, one, embracing it, but mm-hmm. also finding others who've gone through the same issues.
Yeah.
And not just in the youth development space, but it's like other people who started their own organizations, companies, small businesses, relying on other entrepreneurs to talk to about these issues has been really helpful.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I advise that for anyone really doing their own thing, starting their own thing. We're in a world where we're all connected. You can find other people who've gone through a lot of the same difficulties.
Right. And then you also, I definitely want to touch upon our participation in the Hive Learning Network. What have been some kind of key takeaways from participating in a network like that?
I think the Hive Network is really impactful and really influential, especially mm-hmm. to the youth development community in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Hive, through the years, has really helped Building Beats grow to what it is.
Yeah.
Always thankful for that, but also thankful for the people and the individuals who participate in the network.
Right.
It's people that we can rely on in any questions we may have as we continue growing in this space. And I think it's a space where you can see all the organizations getting together because we all have a shared mission to really empower tomorrow's youth. So I think connecting with each other will just make that collective impact so much more powerful.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Well, Fee, thank you so much for your time. I really, really appreciate it. Is there anything that you want to share that you're kind of maybe you're looking forward to with your organization before we kind of do like an official sign out?
I'm excited of where we're going.
Yeah.
Or at least the vision we have on building out. We want to continue our work, you know, obviously with youth all throughout the city. We've gotten our own HQ. It's only been a year long.
Okay.
But it's a fantastic space that we want to use to bring young people for programming and figure out how we bring in some of our former students for, as alumni, who are now alumni as interns or potential employees
awesome.
In the future. And as, you know, kids are coming out of our program, keeping in touch with them, we want to figure out how we can get them different DJ gigs, mm-hmm. Getting their music placed onto podcasts.
Yeah.
I think as we've built a presence in the New York City community, a lot of cultural institutions, companies even, reach out to us to hire student DJs. And I think we can be a really good space to really show young people the opportunities they have when, you know, they just do something they enjoy, like music making or DJing.
Yeah, cool. Where can people stay up to date with you, your work? Where's the best place to kind of follow you?
Buildingbeats.org, our website, and then Instagram. I think we use Instagram a lot. Just young people are all up on the Instagram game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just find us on either, online or Instagram.
Instagram, cool. Again, man, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Man, I really appreciate Fee and his amazing work that he's been doing. And I want to thank you all so much for listening. And please rate, review, subscribe, and share the Spark Chat podcast. As always, I wish you all my best, and do stay tuned for additional content. Take care, everybody.
So if our listeners, they're sticking around, this is kind of, again, the bonus content, where we get into really kind of fun, quirky questions. And so for free, from our selection that we kind of provided you ahead of time, the ones that you wanted to get into, which I think are really cool too. So for the first question, what fad or what trend do you hope comes back?
It's pretty old school, but I really hope people will get back into books, whether it's reading books, listening to books. I think the knowledge and content that you find in books is... you know, it's some of them are, it's like thousands of years old in terms of things that can be helpful for you today.
Yeah.
And especially with technology, and it is, it's maybe not such a trend, but because of the lifestyle we live, the news and social media has put, you know, content that is just so immediate, always breaking news,
right?
Always stuff that could be useless a week from now.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think a lot of books have stuff that, you know, you can apply for the rest of your life.
It's funny you mentioned that, because technology, especially the social media, is like, you know, we're kind of always checking into that and just kind of getting our updates to that, and there's so much reflection on life experiences, lessons learned that are put in a book that sometimes, you know, maybe we don't access because we want things fast. You know, we want things as quick as they can be given to us.
Yeah.
Totally agree with that.
Yeah.
What do you think would you would grow out of but haven't?
It's funny that I think about this a lot, is when I graduated with my degree in neuroscience, especially knowing that I probably wouldn't use it again,
but
ever since graduating, it's like I think about how we think as humans every single day, and I continue getting excited about how the human brain works. I'm getting more and more interested about how AI is going to affect society. And, you know, AI is artificial intelligence that's modeled after human intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that really continues driving me to keep learning about neuroscience.
Yeah.
and learning about the space. One, because I think AI is really going to influence society in a really major way.
Yeah.
Whether it's negative or positive, no one truly knows.
Yeah.
But yeah, in terms of a lens of social justice, it's already affecting us in so many different ways.
Right.
I didn't realize that my undergraduate degree in neuroscience would continue being applied in you know, the stuff I want to do now. But it definitely does.
Do you still get to use it in your role, being the executive director, a leader within your organization? I'm sure, like, just understanding how the way maybe people think is, no matter what you end up doing, is going to be, you know, it's like one of those skills that, like, communication, like, no matter what career you get into, you're going to need to know how to communicate.
In terms of how some of my colleagues think, how the young people in our classes think, it's, you know, it's understanding the science behind it has been helpful training our team. It's like, you know, be on the lookout. If this happens, you should know it's like it's because of what you did here. And I think it applies to everything.
Right. Know? Yeah. Yeah.
Humans, we use our brains, and understanding how we use our brains is something that's been super helpful in really all aspects of my life.
Totally. Awesome. Well, thank you again, my friend. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this.
Yeah, totally. It was fun being interviewed.
Cool. Thanks, man.